Howdy, DC On-Screen fans. How would you like a piece of original artwork from one of us here at DC On-Screen?
All right, we're aware that you've never thought of that before, but here's the deal. We need your help because the internet is a giant monster that requires numbers and regular feeding times. And then these algorithm things that are like our personal demons that we can't defeat alone. Do the right thing. Go over to iTunes. Give us a 5-star review or a more honest review if you feel absolutely led to. And then email us at dconscreen@gmail.com. What we're going to need you to do is just write in an address. Tell us who you are. Give us whatever address you want us to send you something at. You know, if you don't want us to know where you live, send it to your neighbors and go steal his mail, whatever.
Yeah.
Just give us that, and then we need you to write Dave or Jason, and then we need you to write the name of a character. We're going to send you a piece of artwork. I can say about it is that one of us is a good artist and one of us is not. If you've actually been listening to every episode, you might know the secret answer to that, to who you should really ask. But, hey, or toss
hell,
a coin.
Man, you know, once you get the picture from us, take a picture of it or scan it or something. Send it back to us and we'll put it on Facebook, just like we do with your DC loot.
Yeah. Send it back with, like, critiques if you want to. We don't give a fuck, you know. Draw over it, you know, pull a Deadpool, right?
Whatever. One of us might cry.
we'll both probably cry. But whatever. Point is, you know, it's come that time. It's the classic call to action. We need to get out there. We need to get a little bit of the review game going. This is our humble offering.
Yeah, humble offering. Very humble. I couldn't say it any better myself, man. That was a good pitch.
Oh, thank you.
All right, with that said, settle in for a new episode of DC On Screen. Welcome in to DC On Screen, a podcast about the DC Universe properties being brought to film and television. I am your host, David C. Robertson, and this is my co-host, Jason.
Hello!
Oh, man. New episode this week. New episode here. Not of anything that we watch, but new news episode.
That's not our fault, by the way. There's just nothing happening.
Well, there's stuff happening.
I mean, there's promos.
I've got five pages here, man.
5 pages of promos?
No.
It is the time of the promos.
Well, yeah, actually it is, but we're not really going into those a lot. We kind of just, oh my gosh, man.
Roll, man. Get it rolling.
Yeah, I guess we should go.
Yeah.
So, Batman vs. Superman, the original soundtrack by Hans Zimmer and Junkie XL, has been released.
Hmm.
We won't be going into the track listing.
Thank God.
Because that holds potential spoilers.
It's a mistake that is often made. Often made. Mm-hmm. With soundtracks. Mm-hmm. You can, yeah, just read the whole track listing, or the act listing almost, but.
Mm-hmm. And there's also a big spoiler going around, possible spoiler that we won't talk about for Batman versus Superman. So we're acknowledging it here.
As we often do.
We were not derelict in our duties. there's just no point in talking about
Neither
that.
Neither were we that stringent to them.
Now, if things have already been said or come out with by executive producers or whatever, yeah, we're going to get some spoilery on that. But
I think that's where we You know, we've been kind of forming this line haphazardly, but I think that is where the line is actually drawn. If it comes from an official source, it's like fair game for us.
Mm-hmm.
Some NDL Reddit guy, though. That's not.
Yep. Now, 8 new Batman vs. Superman spots did come out. There's only one of them that really interested me in as far as like being indicative of anything. I guess there's kind of two, but the main one for the TV spots was Batman racing around a corner in the Batmobile, mm-hmm. and Superman is just standing there, and he runs into Superman, and the car like hits Superman
like
and
flips
off
the hell
the
out.
Side. Yeah,
yeah, I really like that.
You did?
I did. It's the I don't give a fuck look on Superman's face when he hits him with a freaking car is priceless.
Yeah.
Not one damn.
The actual shot to me looked really bad. Like, so yeah, I thought the shot looked really bad.
I didn't have a problem with it this time. I mean, I've agreed with most of the critiques of the shot. The main two problems I've had with the shots, and I'll give it this credit, of all the footage we've seen of BVS so far, the two problems I've had. One, Doomsday. Don't like his introduction. Don't like him barreling down the side of that building. Don't like the way he's standing there. Don't like the look on his fucking face. I just didn't like anything about that shot. And then the most obvious green screen powered shot I've seen in quite some time.
Right.
Let me put it this way. The Avengers did a power shot in circle in the middle of a day, and it still looked better. That should be hard to do. But aside from those two, I haven't really had that many qualms. This included, I like the shot of the bat wreck?
Yeah, I guess so. Zack Snyder was on Conan. He put out a new clip of Batman vs. Superman, and it picks up right from that Batman driving into Superman thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, everyone thinks it's on the internet that Batman just drove into Superman, like he was trying to, like, hurt Superman with his car. I don't think that's the case. I'm pretty sure Superman was just standing around the corner, and Batman didn't realize he was there until it was too late.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Don't get me wrong. Either one of those could be true, but don't get attached to one of them yet. There's no... I don't see a reason it could be one or the other, necessarily.
Well, the reason I say that is because Batman did that hard turn right... And then all of a sudden there was Superman.
Well, he's drifting, but I can't tell if he's kind of drifting around a corner and thought, oh, fuck, a Superman. Or if he kind of, saw Superman and was like, I'm going to get this guy.
Oh, mere seconds before slamming into Superman's shins.
Right.
Batman.
No effect whatsoever.
Batman had a sudden and inexplicable urge to eat pancakes.
Right. Call back.
Yeah, go check out our Man of Steel review if you haven't already, right. And I'll leave it there. So this new clip that Snyder debuted on Conan picks up seemingly right after that. Superman walks over to the Batmobile. You see Batman in the car looking confused. There's steam and shit everywhere, and Superman rips off the doors and. Batman stands up and he tells him, next time you shine your light in the sky, don't go to it. The bat is dead, buried. Consider this mercy.
Wow.
Superman turns to walk away and Batman tells him, tell me, do you bleed? Right? Okay. It's kind of the famous line, the tagline of this movie, though.
Right. And he, as he flies away, I remember him saying, you will.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, man. It's none of that. None of that annoys me.
No, none of that annoys me.
Maybe this is, hopefully this is going to be good for us because they'll come in, they'll give us all these TV spots and let us forget the terrible second trailer and it'll be good.
Now there are some conspiracy theorists out there.
Mm-hmm.
Who, despite everything, are now claiming that because Superman said the bat is dead, bury it, that this actually does happen after Dark Knight Rises.
Good God.
I don't think that's the case, guys. I'm sorry. I don't.
Come on, fellas.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not going to be true. I mean, there are elements of Dark Knight Rises in this thing, but it's not going to be...
Sure.
It's just not going to be...
I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I don't want this. I don't want anything to do with Dark Knight Rises. I don't want this to have anything to do with it at all.
It doesn't have to be. Dark Knight Rises did. First of all, the animated movies, all I ever need personally, and I don't think it'll add anything to it. I like them taking elements from it. I do because the only time that that Batman returning from not being Batman, I think, has ever worked is that story.
Dark Knight Rises.
Or Dark Knight Returns. Dark Knight Returns is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm talking about Rises.
No, I'm sorry. I was way off.
Yeah. It's all right.
I was way off. I was trying to find one of the promos you were talking about and completely missed your words.
Yeah, no. It's their fault. It's their fault for making the titles so similar.
Right. Because I can't be bothered to remember a whole word.
Not in this society, sir. Not in this society.
Express your opinion in 140 characters or fuck off.
So, we talked about this last week, but I figure an extra little bit of news has come out for it, so I figured I'd mention it once again. New promos for the CW special Dawn of the Justice League have been airing. This is the special that will give a new trailer for Suicide Squad and a sneak peek at Wonder Woman. But they've been airing promos for that, and it's not only hosted by Kevin Smith, but also Geoff Johns.
Yeah, I saw that he's going to pop on.
So that's exciting.
That is.
And again, that's Tuesday, January 19th at 9 p.m.
Eastern?
Eastern, yeah, Eastern.
Like, Geoff Johns is secretly just the guy we all implicitly trust. He's
kind of.
He's kind of like, he's the guy that has held all of this together for me. It could have gone crazier and crazier several times, and I appreciate him being the one to say, like, no, that's really not how that character's supposed to be used, like, at all. You need to use this guy instead.
I accept a lot of what Geoff Johns does with folded arms. What's this now?
Trust.
Well, all right, but just watch your step.
I have the unfounded suspicion that he's the one that convinced Diane Nelson that, like, no, seriously, we can use these characters a few times. It'll be okay.
Right. So
I give him the credit with no real evidence.
Yeah. Anywho, our friend Christopher White sent us a link. Apparently Jesse Eisenberg over on the 12th stopped by Midtown Comics to sign Lex Luthor comic books. Now Chris thought it was probably not the best time, that they should wait until after the movie. I disagree. I think this is the perfect time before the shitstorm hits and they're not worth anything anymore.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Just simple my logic on it would be, like, before the movie, 100% of the people are excited about the opportunity. After the movie, right, X percent of the people are happy with you, and the other percent really don't like you anymore.
Right, and it doesn't matter how good the movie is. Like, there will be a shitstorm.
There's always going to be. I mean, if it's 90% good, that's still 10% of people that don't like you anymore.
And DC fans, even more so than Marvel fans, I've found, are a little more fickle.
A little bitchy, yeah.
I wasn't going to go with that word, but sure.
I speak of us. I don't know. I mean, fuck.
You know what? It's really hard because, like, you have, like, something like the comic books. You have, like, the Batman animated series. You have so many animated series. Like, not only BTAS, you have Batman the Brave and the Bold. You have the Batman, Beware the Batman. All of them are pretty drastically different in tone. Then you have all the movies and everything. It's just, you know, Marvel has been, like, creating something similar in tone across the board for, like, 10 years. And that's the first thing that they've really had on the screen. Except for, like, the old Fox Kids stuff, which there are some Marvel fans who will swear by that and act like this is all shit. Whatever, and buddy. I'm sorry.
I kind of wonder, like, how much do people hold, like, the endless rebooting of Spider-Man against the rest of the Marvel Universe? I know it's absolutely disconnected, but that's my point. Like, do people still, you know, kick Marvel in the shins going, why? Why did you do that to us? Well, we didn't. It wasn't us at all. You sold the rights. Yeah, we didn't know.
Well, if they hadn't sold the rights, they wouldn't be doing...
Way before it was an option.
If they hadn't sold the rights, they wouldn't be doing Marvel as they're doing it now, so...
I know. I mean, they made sacrifices. You know,
but... Yeah, so, but I just feel like our fan base with DC is a lot more splintered, with people arguing over, you know, which one is the true continuity. There's not a one. It's this multiverse, guys.
Yeah, it sure as hell is now. There was some hope a few times. I mean, it looked, here and there, it looked like they were going to really, you know, compile it down. It's like, no, seriously, we're doing this, guys. It's never worked. Mm-hmm. It's just never worked for more than a couple of years.
I will say
maybe?
This.
And that's a stretch.
Yeah. I will say this, though, and we're about to get into some toys, some really cool kind of stuff that's coming out, but I actually me and Bethany went to a Toys R Us on Wednesday, and I shot a video, and I'm going to put it up on the DC On Screen Facebook page.
Excellent.
But we walk in, and there's a display for Batman vs. Superman toys right away, like right as we walk in. Then there are others later on, but some of them look actually really pretty bad, but... The marketing for them is DC Comics Multiverse. They've got Batman and the Flash and Green Arrow and Superman in the same packaging, all labeled Multiverse.
Hmm.
I found that incredibly interesting. Like, this is like Batman v Superman, Arrow, and the Flash, as CW would have them, multiverse.
Wow. Yeah, I would like to see those. How? I mean, yeah, did you manage not to buy that?
I did manage not to buy that. I did, however, buy a NECA Adam West Batman figure.
Oh, well, no one, yeah, yeah. No one can blame you. I've never seen you walk away from an Adam West figure of any kind, sort, or I don't know that you've ever been able to successfully not buy one of those.
Mm-hmm. Well, but, that video is going to have some... That video is going to have some spoilers for possible spoilers because, I mean, it's right out there. Mm-hmm. So I'll send you a separate picture of some stuff. But because you're not going to want to watch the video, man. You're just not.
The toy spoilers?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. There's a reason I avoid all news about toys like in the months leading up to a movie. I really do. There's no way that they always get that. I don't know if they just don't think about it or if they don't care.
They don't care.
Is it just they don't care? Is it really that bad that no one cares anymore?
Well, I don't know. It's like, okay, I think it's that the toys aren't necessarily indicative of something that's going to be happening in the movie. I was just reading an article recently about someone was pointing out like the Dark Knight Rises toy line, and they were like, why is everyone freaking out about certain things in the Batman vs. Superman toy line? That doesn't mean anything. Look at this. And like, we see, like, Golden Drill Batman from The Dark Knight Rises.
I don't even know.
It was, like, Christian Bale painted gold, and he had a giant drill.
I don't even know what to do with that.
Yeah, so it's a toy line, man. Just because, it's quite possible that they, in order not to spoil certain things in the movie, they went ahead and created something that wasn't even in the movie. I don't know.
I can't tell. Sometimes it looks like they clearly grab something from, the final act and throw it out there and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of the extra crap like that, but
it's just that you can't tell. That's the problem.
Right. It all just sort of sits there festering in my memory until I've actually seen the film. And the worst part about it, there's nothing, there's no reward to it. It's not like when I'm done, I'm still like, yeah, I'm glad I didn't get that toy that I was never going to buy. I was never going to go buy the Golden Drill Batman. That was never on my agenda. Never. I was never going to envy not having it. It just, the toy thing annoys the crap out of me. It's actually, I mean, of all the aspects of DC and even the DC loot that I really do love, generally the toys are the ones that they're most mishandled and I care the least for them, I think.
Hmm. Yeah, there a lot of these toys for Batman vs. Superman do not look that great. Like, the ones that are for the Mafex figures, like, the Mafex figures molds are pretty, pretty good. Like, the paint jobs are nice and everything. Like, the ones for just regular retail, not so great.
If I go to one of the major stores, just walk down that toy aisle, in the months preceding a movie, about 1 out of 10 things I'm going to look at and go, wow, someone actually, that's a good angle. That's a good toy. That is... I would really love to have had that. The rest of it it looks like every idea they could, they threw it out there, manufactured it, and see if it sells.
Yeah, and you know what? The one company that really does well is Star Wars. Like, I don't want... I'm not a Star Wars fan. I don't want the toys, but I kind of want them. They look good, man. They look good.
Yeah.
I've been circling a couple of Millennium Falcons for, like, 3 months. I don't even know what to do with it.
Staring at them.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
So they released a Batman vs. Superman Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
All right. And here's the part where it becomes all kinds of around again. That I would buy.
Yeah. Now,
more than nostalgia, when's the last time you played Rock'em Sock'em Robot? But
the last time I cared was when I was about 5. My favorite thing about this toy, though, is the headline that I read announcing it said, BVS Rock'em Sock'em Robots is, parentheses, probably, spoiler-free. I enjoyed the hell out of that.
How hard can it be to make a spoiler-free Rock'em Sock'em Robot, man? He's got like four...
I know.
Even in the trailers, he's got like 4 or 5 costume changes. Mm-hmm. Just throw Superman... I mean, there's basically one Superman costume so far. I don't think I've seen that one change. But Batman's got like 5 to choose from. Pick your favorite. Throw him up there.
I don't know. So, Funko is, Funko is starting a new box line, DC Comics Legion of Collectors.
Mm-hmm.
It's a situation where you spend $50. No, sorry. It's a $50 value for $25. It's every other month you get a box, like a Legion of Collectors box, that has 100% exclusive pop, vinyl, apparel, accessories, collectibles, and more, they say. Hmm. Legionofcollectors.com is where you can go to sign up for that. It starts out with a Batman v Superman box. These things are always kind of cool. I've kind of always wanted to do one of them. Like, it's like the nerd box or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
They'll just send you random stuff.
I usually, like, I'll see somebody's month and then get really excited mm-hmm. about it. Like, oh my God, it was a great box. Mm-hmm. And then I'll see their next month and go, oh man, I'm glad I didn't get involved right then. Because right. they are kind of crapshoot, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Every now and then you'll get one, but there's like one decent like Doctor Who sticker in there, and the rest of it's just $40 worth of crap you would never have bought.
Yeah, that's kind of the rough part of it. But this is a DC Comics thing, so yeah. at least they're narrowing it down a little
right.
bit. And it's Funko. I usually like the Funko stuff, but you know, there you go. They're not an official sponsor or anything. I just thought I'd mention it because it seemed like a pretty cool thing. I know at least four or five people who would probably want to do it. So. And I don't have many friends.
Yeah. And this is how we contact them. We don't use phones anymore. It's a new day.
Smoke signals, sir. Smoke signals.
You're going to strap the website to the pigeon's foot and send him on his way.
No need for pigeons, sir. I've got smoke signals.
Pigeons to advance for you?
Thing. Yeah. Absolutely.
Too many characters.
Absolutely. So, David Ayer, director of Suicide Squad, mm-hmm. was talking about Batman / Batfleck being in the movie. He says, "We made him fight. He's awesome. You really sense that. But for the grace of God, he himself would be doing some really foul stuff out in the world."
I love that description.
Mm-hmm. Affleck says that he is bound by non-disclosure clauses a mile long
mm-hmm.
and is unable to divulge pretty much anything about his involvement with Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
He did say he was really impressed by the entire team. He said, "I felt like I have such a cool cousin. This thing that is so awesome is somehow related to me, and that was really exciting because it started to feel like a constellation of things, and I've never had that feeling." That's cool.
It is.
David Ayer, though, kind of started bitching out Marvel again for no reason.
Why, David? Why?
I don't know.
Be nice.
He's talking about the idea of bringing all the Warner Brothers and DC stuff, future films and whatnot, to connect. And he says, but unlike Marvel, there's a little more to it than simply dropping a cutscene at the end credits to link projects. You really have to be thinking three movies downrange and how today's movie will impact more later cycle projects. Dude, if you sat down and watched three Marvel movies, you would see that they're doing exactly the same shit you are talking about, you windbag.
Not only is it, he's acting like, oh no, it's not such a big deal. No, it is a big fucking deal, and the whole reason you're able to do what you're doing right now with your life is because they did it.
Exactly.
Calm your tits, David.
But like that's one of the big problems people say with Marvel movies is that no movie feels like its own movie because they're throwing too much for future movies into it. Like, shut up, Ayer. God.
I get the complaint. I do. It's a matter of how much, I don't know. There are times where, yeah, you watch like Avengers 2 had that effect a little bit. It kind of felt like we were getting somewhere, sure. But I told you I had the same problem with Star Wars. I felt like it was a fun movie, but I felt like it was act one of something and I was ready to watch the next one yet. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem that's built into the format. You got to live with it. And it's worth it for what you're getting out of it.
But he's saying that's not what they're doing. He's saying they just throw a thing at the end credits to link the projects, and that's just not what they've done at all.
Not even close, man. I doubt there's like a yarn-filled conspiracy nut board somewhere, but they've got a pretty damn good overlapping set of ideas about what happens when and who's grabbing what.
I'm seriously sure that there is some small percentage of DC fans out there who are just sitting there going, and check, he bashed Marvel, that means I'm definitely going to go see this movie, because Marvel sucks.
I'm sure,
but are those people not going to
see the movie?
You look at those numbers, man, and it's Marvel people You need Marvel people to come see your movie.
They obviously
buddy.
Come out in droves. I don't.
Gosh,
I mean, it's a type.
Anyway,
if Adam Warlock shows up somewhere in like Guardians of the Galaxy 2, so help me, I'm going to send him a screenshot of like the middle of the movie of Guardians of the Galaxy 1 where you can see that cocoon in the background, and then the stinger mm-hmm. where the cocoon's broken, and be like, you realize this the cocoon was there before the movie ended, right?
And you know what
this
that
showed up
with?
Like 4 movies later. Just throwing it out there, buddy.
If David Ayer actually ever sees that picture, he'll just be like, psh, I don't watch Star Wars.
I've seen Howard the Duck before. What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm busy making a movie, bro. I didn't have time to go see Star Trek. So
I don't... I'll bitch about him being a windbag, but so far I've loved every shot I've seen from his movie.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I'm
in that quandary myself.
It's yeah.
save for the weird Joker tattoos, I've been on board.
Yeah, I'm not even completely off board those yet. It's still so damned intriguing. I'm ready to see what he's got.
Yeah. So Chris Pine, well, he's been saying a couple of things. He says that, by the way, he was never offered Green Lantern ever. He's never had a conversation about Green Lantern.
Did he say all those things with like a mournful tone?
I don't know.
I don't know if I could say the sentence, no one ever offered me Green Lantern, without being sad when I say it.
Yeah. He does confirm that Wonder Woman, that there will be a World War I period in Wonder Woman. I mean, we pretty much knew that. Connie Nielsen of Mission to Mars and Gladiator is going to be Hippolyta, they've announced.
Okay.
So that narrows down who Robin Wright is playing in the movie, I guess.
Hmm.
I don't know. Cersei? Artemis, maybe? I don't know.
Who was... Anyway. Now, did you ever remember, we were talking about it the other day, and I meant to look her up. One of Diana's friends back on the island that's got the prophetic abilities.
Oh, yeah.
We never did look her name up.
No, I didn't. Let's see. Wonder Woman, Psychic Woman.
Typing.
Yeah, that doesn't bring up anything that you would want to really look at.
it's not an overly fruitful search. But here's what we did come up with.
Yeah.
You were kind of hoping that if the movies combined in the way they were threatening to. There's already enough theories and rumors out there about what Wonder Woman's up to.
Sure.
But wasn't that your idea for like, we were listening to, okay, what the hell, why are there parademons in the Batman BVS trailer, right?
Right, if those are in fact parademons.
But if, yeah. And they just look so fucking like parademons.
They do look like parademons, they do.
I don't, there's not another thing I want to call them until you rule out parademons. But the idea was, okay, all right, even if it is a nightmare, how the fuck does Batman know what a parademon looks like?
Mm-hmm.
And now I like your suggestion. What if one of the reasons Wonder Woman's involved is because she's gotten information from her psychic friend, whose name shall remain, in possession of the internet alone. And for how, you still looking?
Yeah.
I guess
I kind of stopped, but no,
but yeah,
Harbinger was her name. Harbinger,
nah, definitely not Harbinger. No, she's Harbinger? A crisis character.
God, I can't remember. Yeah, you're right.
But
she wasn't then.
Yeah, your idea was that Wonder Woman comes back because it's not Batman's nightmare, but it's this girl's nightmare. She tells Wonder Woman, hey, you know, the world of man is about to really fuck itself up. You should probably get over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Wonder Woman coming in to bang their heads together, essentially, and say, you two need to get this shit together. Which I liked a lot more than any other version of why there would be parademons there.
Yeah.
Also, there's this sword you should find. Here you go.
Hmm?
Also, there's this sword you should find while you're out there, you know.
Yeah. Actually, I think it is Harbinger, dude.
Is it really Harbinger?
I really do. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because she's a Harbinger for everyone but herself.
Hmm.
She can't see her future, but she can see everyone else's.
Did they reuse her for the Crisis? Or reuse the name?
I remember
in Crisis,
from Superman
she has
Batman.
Very little to do with...
I remember her from Superman Batman Apocalypse, the one where she like sees Superman carrying Supergirl's dead body. She thinks it's Supergirl's dead body, but it's really her own with the Supergirl cape, or his cape draped over her.
Right.
Or whatever that was. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it didn't ring true for me either, but yeah, I guess that is her. But yeah, if that's her, she was just like hanging out on the island.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So. No, it is. It is. Lila. Her name's Lila Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you're right. Forget how the hell she gets over to Themyscira, but somehow she does after killing a monitor. Whatever. Things got weird back in those days.
We don't talk about the killing of the monitors. It did and did not happen. It's the Schrodinger's cat of the DC universe.
The monitors are a weird time frame. But I'll tell you what, I'll take all of it for the one line in it's like in one of the worst books of all the crises books. It's like Countdown to Final Crisis, which is this weird clusterfuck of like Jimmy Olsen having a big turtle superpower and Darkseid playing chess with a bad monitor, and I don't know, man. It gets real fucking strange. But somewhere at the end of that, the original Adam, Donna Troy, and Jason Todd essentially form like a policing force, I guess, for the monitors, and show up to tell them, hey, you know, we think you should be monitored. And best line in the entire series for me. The monitors start scrabbling about, well, we'll have to talk about this, blah, blah, blah. We really don't think that's necessary. And Palmer just tells them, you misunderstand. We didn't come to ask permission. We came to serve notice. And then they, like, multidimensionally flip off the stage.
Yep.
That's a mic drop.
All right. So, yeah. Moving on.
And this moment in DC history provided by...
DC on screen.
Provided by no one. No one paid us for that crap.
No one. There are rumors that Amber Heard of The Danish Girl and Magic Mike XXL, never seen either of those, is in talks or confirmed maybe for playing Mira in Aquaman. That's the Bride of Aquaman.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, badass in her own right. So. Mm-hmm. Mm. I can't imagine an Aquaman movie's gonna make it. I just can't. Like, it's like the old Ookla the Mock song says, not even Peter David can make him cool. I don't know, man. I'm hoping.
I've heard the least about his movie so far.
Yeah.
They
did it. They're doing it similar to the Wonder Woman movie.
DL, you know?
Yeah, they're doing it similar to the Wonder Woman movie. They threw a bunch of starving writers in a room and then threw a stake into the room.
Okay.
Except with Aquaman, everyone just sort of stared at it and went, I don't understand.
Know what to do with this. Why can he talk to fish? Does he need to talk to fish? Can they hear him under the water?
Harry Potter spin on this. Can we put a Harry Potter spin on it? How about Black Manta? No. Ocean Master. Oh, damn it.
It wouldn't surprise me if somewhere in the DCU, like, they've got to have a story bible for the DCU in general.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if somewhere in there's a rule that says, pick what characters you want to some extent. Don't even suggest anyone with the word master in their name.
Well, no, they've said that the rumor is that Ocean Master is going to be the bad guy.
Oh, is it
for real?
Oh.
Yeah. Like, why would you not choose Black Manta? That makes no sense.
He really does make a lot more
sense. No sense at all.
And I hadn't heard Master come up anywhere. I was feeling really good about that. Oh, well.
No.
They'll probably just call him by his, like, Atlantean name and avoid the term.
Like, Black Manta? That's ridiculous. How about that guy over there with the shell for a face?
That evil fisherman guy? How about him?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you want to jump over to TV?
Yeah, we've sullied that environment well enough, I think.
Yeah, we have. So, January 12th was the 50th anniversary of Bill Dozier's Batman series,
Woo!
Starring Adam West and Burt Ward.
Woo!
Yay! Hi. Happy birthday!
I don't want to actually get up and scream or anything, but that's mostly because I'm just really tired today. But, bless him. That's 50 years that they've had an effect. They really have. There are very few people, very few people in the world that don't know the phrase, same bat time, said bat channel.
Yeah. So, I mean, gosh, Bruce, what a wonderful series. speaking of,
holy
past, well, yeah, speaking of, past, or you might say old Batman series, at Batman Animated Series, they are now releasing a, DC Collectibles is releasing a 6-inch scale deluxe Batmobile toy. It looks friggin' amazing. The TAS Batmobile was my favorite Batmobile ever.
It was really cool.
So they're actually
weirdly long.
Weirdly long, and but I love it. It looks awesome.
As a kid, I kept watching that going, that seems totally unmaneuverable. Like, surely there's a sharp corner somewhere in Gotham.
Well, you can actually hear the commentary from Bruce Timm and Paul Dini laughing over, like, how they had these, like, big hilly sceneries, and, like, you would have, they show the Batmobile rolling over them. They would call it the rubber Batmobile.
Yeah, it has to kind of torque a little bit.
Because it would turn, yeah.
Because, like, on a, the length of that thing on, like, a 20-degree hilltop, the thing would just beach itself at the top of the hill. Spinning its poor, I'm sure, four-wheel drive tires. I can't touch anything.
Yeah, but dude, it looks like the original Batmobile. I mean, it looks like the TAS Batmobile, and it has it comes with a light up bat signal and an exclusive Batman and Robin figure that goes along with this new Batman Animated Series figure line they've been putting out. Mm-hmm. And it they gave it posable cloth capes so that they can sit in the Batmobile, and a light up bat signal. I know I already said that, but I was really excited about that. So it's going to be available in August for like $175. I hate to say it, but I think I'm going to have to do it.
Yeah. Well, you got time to save.
Yeah.
I mean, your movies, like, right, the movies you're going to absolutely have to watch, right? You've got Deadpool, BBS, Civil War, and then you head till August with Suicide Squad to save the necessary money for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's more movies than that coming that I'm going to watch. I mean, you know, I feel bad, but I'm probably going to have to see Ivan Ooze over in the X-Men universe.
Ooh, yeah. Forgot about him.
And there's other stuff. We'll get into that later. So I was remiss, did not mention this last week, but Teen Titans is dead at TNT.
Oh, yeah.
They're not making the live-action Teen Titans show anymore at TNT. Here were all the people who were not a part of the show, apparently. Cyborg, Beast Boy, mm-hmm. Kid Flash, Aqualad, Wonder Girl, and Speedy. I know if you're like me, you're wondering what the hell was the point of doing a damn Teen Titans show then.
Yeah, right. Speedy, at the very least.
Well, they had
some of those.
And Oracle.
Yeah, I mean, Nightwing and Oracle was going to be nice. I think you said Raven was going to be there.
They had Raven and Starfire and Hawk and Dove.
Hawk and Dove was a weird thing. I feel like that was like, who can we afford?
Yeah. Now, here's the weirdest thing. Akiva Goldsman, the dude who wrote Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, wrote the pilot.
Oh, God. Wow.
No wonder it died. I mean, he's an Oscar-winning writer. I don't know. I don't know if he just doesn't understand superheroes. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I've heard him say that, you know, at that level, you just kind of do whatever the studio tells you to do. So.
Does that apply to TNT, though, really? I mean.
Yeah.
I feel like they probably could have done it. Did it just sound like a show that was way too expensive for TNT? Because that was my...
Absolutely.
That was my real problem.
Absolutely.
And that's... Like, Legend of Tomorrow, for instance, I only have my heart set on one season. That's all mm-hmm. I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Because
it's going to be so much money to make.
Yeah, it might be. It might be expensive. I don't know.
But I'll bet this, if they do... are they going to do a crossover? A spring crossover? I can't remember.
Who?
Season finale crossovers, is that a thing? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I think they were just
sometimes
gonna,
a lot of dumps.
I thought they were just gonna like let everyone tell their separate stories, and you know, there's gonna be a mention here and there, but I don't think they were coming back for like another Flaro episode or anything.
I don't think it's gonna be anything on that scale, but like last year they did kind of pop over for each other's season finales briefly.
Okay. If they actually get a season two of LOT, because I know he likes going the fall finales right before he hits those. They, you know, it's around episode 8 and 9. They really want to do the crossovers and everything.
Right.
If they do like I'll call it a flare-it crossover with all three. that will be the biggest ratings they get that they've had for any one single episode of any of their shows altogether.
I'd like them to cross over with Gotham, call them Flare-em.
Flotham.
Got Flare-o, I don't know. speaking of Gotham, though, Ben McKenzie is saying a whole bunch of shit, man. And he says that, they asked him if Jerome would be back, and he says, oh, he might be coming back, I can't really say, And then he went, yes. Everyone on Gotham who has died is coming back.
Well, I don't know if I should say, yeah.
He was also asked if he'll get this, if he'll ever get his mustache, and he says he will get it later on, but he's still too young for it.
I agree. Mustache would look weird on him right now. Mm-hmm. Looks great on like the chiseled, you know, age chiseled face of the old Gordon. I expect nothing less, frankly. But is it weird that I kind of want Ben, like I want him to start smoking in the show?
No, I just keep thinking, like, when's he going to pull out the pipe, man?
I am so used to him, either pipe or cigarette, whatever. I'm so used to him being a smoker, though.
Well, he never smoked in TAS.
Yeah, but, you know, I expected that.
I've never seen him smoke in Batman 66. He's never smoked in the animated series. He's never smoked in any of the movies, to my knowledge. Maybe Nolan's movies, but I don't remember those
smoking there either, honestly.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
It hasn't been, you know, a popular thing to have your characters do, I guess, as much recently. But
it's really just in the comics that he's always walking around with that damn pipe.
Yeah, but that's the visual I have all the time. Now it has like superimposed itself. Because when I think of even if I think of the BTAS, like big old scrawled Gordon, yeah, I like remember him having a pipe. Yeah, I know it wasn't there. That's how I remember it.
I don't know, man. Here's something awful. Ben McKenzie says Barbara is in a coma, which means she's very much alive and coming back. He says they have a very complicated relationship, which they've only really begun to explore. There's a lot more to come. And, yeah. And he also says that they do want to deal with Barbara Gordon proper, Batgirl, showing up at some point. Like, he wants to deal with the baby Barbara Gordon. They all want to deal with it. Or address it on Gotham.
Yeah. The more I hear them talk about it, I like to get my hopes up and everything, but we're just going to have to find a way. Whatever drug-induced state we have to do, we're going to have to find a way to enjoy Barbara.
Nope.
Not willing to do the research on that one. No.
What research?
I don't know.
If they keep writing her the way that they have, and she keeps acting the way that she has, I got no hopes for it. I'll keep watching the show because that's what I do.
Redress I really had this season was at some point I just turned her into a drinking game. Mm-hmm. I call it that. It's more of a coping mechanism. Like every time she annoyed me, I would have a drink. I called it a game afterwards, so I felt better about it.
Right.
It did help, though.
Yeah. So Fox chairman and CEO Gary Newman says that they are open to having a Gotham spinoff.
I don't know what it would be yet.
I don't know. Maybe they can make that Penguin spinoff they've been looking to make ever since the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna pop over to.
I wouldn't be. You know, it'd be fun and tomorrow. Keep the tone of it.
Hmm?
You've already got. They've already mentioned Montoya, but she got pulled off. Go ahead and keep it. Maybe let her show up later if it's worth it. But I would love a Hub City spinoff that focused on the Question.
Yeah,
that would work well in Gotham's tone, I think.
Yeah, get on it, guys.
Right. Can I have that for Christmas, please?
Should we contact Heller? No, contact Berlanti, please. Berlanti. I know we have issues with some of his stuff, too, but he's... Anyway, Legends of Tomorrow, Greg Berlanti, speaking of the devil himself, is hinting, or he's not even hinting, he's saying that we will get hints of the Legion of Superheroes on one of their shows.
Oh, cool. That far forward?
Right. Nom, 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 nom.
Maybe they only go like halfway there and it's Brainiac 3 or something.
Yeah. Now he does say that Jonah Hex is coming to Legends of Tomorrow.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, I'm down.
I'd like to see how they do his face makeup too. That's going to be really cool. Or really terrible, but probably really cool.
I want to say I mentioned this in the previous episode, but Jewel State of Firefly and Stargate Atlantis. Mm-hmm. She's going to be a future tech genius and roboticist Rachel Turner in Legends of Tomorrow.
Ooh.
So I don't remember if I said that or not, but
I don't remember knowing it. So
yeah,
I think it's new.
And
I don't trust myself on that.
I don't trust myself. Kyle XY and Fringe alum Allie Liebert is going to be playing the role of a new love interest for the recently resurrected Sarah Lance. She will play the role of Lindsay Carlisle, described as a soft-spoken, intelligent lady who is the ideal picture of 1950s womanhood, except that she's hiding a deep secret, that which is that she is a lesbian, obviously. Not a big happy time in 1950s.
I mean, 6 years removed, no one cares too much. 50s, people cared a lot.
Yeah. Well, they still care a lot more than they care now, but
a hell of a lot less.
So, yeah, that's what they're doing. Over to Arrow, Wendy Miracle, executive producer, says Oracle is off the table. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Oracle is off the table.
After all that.
Yeah.
After all that.
But one of the other Arrow EPs, Guggenheim, Mark Guggenheim, says that there is a big game changer coming for the big bad in episode 15 of this season, but he won't say what it is.
I mean,
obviously.
Does he get more magical?
I don't know. I think Wendy Miracle did say that she said that Damien Dark sees himself as a new god, and people are reading into that as meaning that he's going to be one of the new gods or something.
Well, I don't know. I could deal with that.
I could, but, you know, I don't necessarily believe that they...
I think she just threw a couple words together to mess with everybody, but...
Yeah, I don't know that she knows the new gods. I really don't.
I doubt she's up on her Kirby, but... I don't know. Maybe she may be. I don't know. I don't either.
Yeah.
She's been some of my least favorite interview moments reading Arrow stuff have been centered around her. Because it'll be stuff like... Well, she's the one that breaks my heart normally, is what I'm getting to.
She's always the one that was like the buzzkill.
Yeah, every time there's something that I really wanted to happen, she'll be the one that says, no, Oracle, sorry. Or every time there's something that I was hoping never to see again, she'll be the one that comes on and says, oh, we think there's really a lot more to explore there. Like, no, there's not.
Mm-hmm.
You have lollivered the fuck out of this thing. Leave it alone.
It is kind of her all the time, isn't it?
I feel like.
Well, her or Guggenheim. I don't know who else is left.
No, the Googs, he's just a liar. Just a damn dirty liar.
So, Vixen is getting a second season on CW Seed.
Oh, they're going to make it an actual season? Or?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be the same thing.
Could we do anything other than that format?
No, it's going to be that format. And they are hoping to, like, actually get it as far as, like, a... They are wanting to either have her stick around on Arrow or stick around on Legends of Tomorrow or give her own series. One of the three. But there is going to be an animated second season on CWC with the same format.
One where she meets Wannabeast?
I don't know.
Or Animal Man? Neither hurts my feelings.
One would hope, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. When we hit Billy Budd, that may be... That is going real deep. Of course they are. I mean, they've already got Vixen. Shit.
Yeah. So there is a new Flash promo.
Uh-huh.
Featuring Wally West and Joe. And I don't know, but Joe says, I'm a cop, remember? And Wally goes, oh, yeah. Yes, the detective who didn't know he had a son. And the hurt on Joe's face. The hurt on Joe's face is palpable,
oh,
sir.
Man.
F this new kid, man. F him. I don't want to hurt Joe like that. You don't hurt Joe like that. That's my Joe.
Oh, no. They'll bring it back. It's Douche. Wally. It's Wally.
I don't know.
You'll love him eventually.
Yeah.
it's never not happened before.
you ready to go cross-eyed now?
Oh, God, what? I'm scared. I'm scared.
I know.
What show are we talking about?
Over to Eobard Thawne.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hi.
He's going to be coming back in the Reverse Flash Returns, and executive producer Andrew Kreisberg says that it is not Earth 2 Reverse Flash. It is our Reverse Flash. He says, time on our show does not unfold linearly. Sometimes you've seen events from one direction, and then you start to see them from the other. This Reverse Flash is not exactly the Reverse Flash that we saw disintegrate at the end of the year. It's a Reverse Flash from an earlier timeline. It's not the Earth 2 Reverse Flash. It's the Reverse Flash. That is, hands down, one of our best episodes. So,
Look, I've seen the flow charts of, you know, the Doctor and River Song. I can deal with that.
I know, and that's what everyone's bringing up. But, you know, I keep thinking, if he did, if Eddie killed himself and that made him disintegrate and he never existed, how the hell is he showing up from an earlier time? I don't understand how this show is even happening. I really don't. I want them to explain
that. It matters whether time is linear or, like you said, bootstrapped to itself. Or there's a lot of ways. Yeah. Like, time is so fucked up when you get it. You can kind of do whatever you want to with it. I think the more important thing is you can pick whatever rules you want, because, let's face it, there's a lot of good theories about how time works, but you can still...
I think MTV's Project Almanac is a good example of why that's not true.
as MTV tried to tackle it, we should know, but... Here's my thing.
I was roped into seeing that movie with Matt from the MCU cast, and we both sat down and they showed MTV Presents or whatever, and we both looked at each other and went, "Oh."
Deflated, right?
Immediately.
But all right, you're not going to be able to pick a theory of time travel where I'm like, "That's scientifically not true." Fuck you. I don't know. But there's a lot of play. Just stick to the rules you've chosen. That's mm-hmm. the important thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, I can't prove that they haven't.
And hell, I watched
Quantum Leap. They haven't given me any rules.
You've watched Quantum Leap straight through, right? Like, episode for episode.
Absolutely.
Straight through.
Absolutely.
It's been a long time since I've seen him in anywhere near the right order. And I don't remember where this falls. Do you remember an episode where he's talking to an older guy that used to be, I think he used to be in sci-fi. He was like, you know, a Johnny Rocket kind of guy, or... But he's explaining to the guy that his machine might work if he stops thinking of time as like a string and balls the string together and puts it in his hand and think this is more like what time is.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go from one thing to the other.
I do. I think Doctor Who stole that concept a few years later.
Right. But where was that in the series? Like front, back, middle?
I think it was around like the middle.
Middle-ish?
Like, I would say. Yeah.
It's been way too long since I watched Quantum Leap straight through when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hard to do in syndication, but it can be done if you're very diligent about sitting down on a TV at certain times.
Mm-hmm.
But I was happy to go through like half of that series without really having a functioning theory of time travel. And then they gave it to him. He was like, "Oh, mm-hmm. that's completely messed up." But I mean, it works. Explains everything. Yeah.
Well, you know. I
maybe
feel
explains
like
everything is a strong term.
It was a very workable, functioning version of time travel.
It gave him parameters that I didn't feel like they contradicted within the course of the show.
Well, no. I mean, he wasn't changing... Well, he was changing things, but he was possessing people. Anyway. There was stuff that was never actually... There was stuff on Quantum Leap that was never resolved.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff that, like, we thought that certain things were happening, that, like, maybe God was sending him places, and then he had, like, a conversation with what may have been God at the end of the series, who was also a bartender in this little pocket reality or something.
Right.
But there were also evil leapers and an evil version of their project who were running around, like, wronging the rights that he... and a lot of that didn't get resolved because the show was canceled.
I know.
So
I know. I always wanted a reunion special to pick up some of those pieces.
Me too. Oh, man, there was a point where, like, they were talking about, there was a rumor that part of the Enterprise deal with Scott Bakula was that UPM was going to do, like, a mini-series for Quantum Leap, and he would guest star, like, for 6 episodes out of the season, but the show would feature his daughter running around in time doing the same thing he was, but trying to find him.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it just never happened. Aww. So apparently, Donald Belisario is talking about doing a reboot movie now. So
yeah,
anyway,
okay.
That's not DC, that's Quantum Leap.
Point being, I don't care what you do with time travel. Just pick something and stick with it.
And I do care.
Flash so far hasn't fully explained their model of time travel. They've kind of given you hints here and there,
yeah.
Just enough to get through.
That's what I was saying.
But they haven't really...
They've given me just enough that I can't bitch.
Yeah, they do. They owe us some explanations.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't been pending yet. I haven't. I'm still good.
Yeah. So, Grant Gustin has news for anyone thinking Zoom is Evil Barry from Earth 2.
Mm-hmm.
he says, "I don't think it's going to be Evil Barry, but I was pitching that idea really early on. Like, how fun would that be? It'd be so cool.
Right.
I just selfishly wanted to play the villain. I didn't even know who it was. I didn't even know who it was until last night, actually. I hadn't asked. I asked way more questions last year. Jesse L. Martin likes to know as little as possible, and I'm kind of taking that route this year, so I'm surprised when I see the scripts and surprised when I do it.
Right.
I hadn't asked who Zoom was. I didn't want to know, but Greg Berlanti called me last night to catch up and talk about the episodes, and that came up, and he broke down the whole story for me and how it's going to evolve and what's going to happen. So I do know now.
Hmm. See, and again, one half of me is thinking, great, I'm glad the explanation's good, don't want to be spoiled, let's do this, let's watch these episodes. The other part of me wants to, like, call somebody at the NSA and see if that call got tapped and can I get a hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be patient, I suppose. Yep.
So Andrew Kreisberg is talking about Sisko. He says, although Sisko is finally comfortable with his vibe powers, Sisko is comfortable in his vibe powers, but in the upcoming episode, he's going to start to learn just how powerful he can really be, which in turn would send him on a very different hero's journey.
Cool.
I'm down.
Yeah. I mean, he's he hasn't shown any real offensive powers so far, right? It's hardly really even defensive. He's pretty much got, I guess it's called psychometry right now. Like, he can pretty much just locate people.
I guess
so,
yeah.
And then I guess he gets glimpses of what they're up to, but... he's got real offensive capabilities, though, if you flesh him out completely.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he gets to destroy some stuff.
I want to see the vibe breakdance.
I think that's the one thing they were excited about never doing.
So new pictures of Ronnie Raymond's Deathstorm and Killer Frost have shown up on the internet. It's obviously of Earth. One of my Will Smith and Independence Day. Welcome to Earth.
Uh-huh.
Earth 2. Yeah. I don't know. Not much to say about that. They're just pictures running around. Excited for that.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith is directing an episode of The Flash.
Yeah. That could be cool. I think it's going to feel a lot like if anyone ever watched Reaper, which I thought was pretty good, actually.
I never saw it because I knew it was going to be canceled.
It held out longer than you thought it would, though.
Yeah, what was it, like two seasons?
You were right, but for the wrong reasons for about 2 years, though. It hung in there, plucky little bastard.
I think it was, again, Matt Carroll over the MCU cast told me, oh, man, you guys see Reaper is directed by Kevin Smith. And I was like, oh, man, that sounds great. And he explained it to me. It did. It sounded amazing. And I thought, there's no way it's going to last.
I forgot who it is playing the devil.
It sounds too good.
Phenomenal job. And then at some point, Michael Ian Black gets involved, and I forget who his partner is on the show. I never can remember his name.
It sounded too good.
It's
going to be one of those heartbreak shows for me.
It is. It is very much a heartbreak show. Like, I had to look up the ending on a freaking AMA somewhere. But I think it did finally get... someone did finally suggest what the ending was supposed to be. But anyway, I think it's going to feel a lot like that. I just do. And it was a fun little quirky little show. It seems like it'll fit. If he does what he did with like the pilot of Reaper, it'll fit okay in Flash.
Mm-hmm. So Kreisberg says that they're building up to a return to Gorilla Grodd and Gorilla City.
Like building up their bank account so they can do it?
Probably, but he says they're like building it up like they built up Ra's al Ghul and Arrow. You know how like they started out with like, you know, dropping League of Assassins.
Right.
Here's Nyssa.
Mention Parbat.
Yeah, like, yeah, okay. All I can do with that. I like Gorilla Grodd.
He's yeah, he's been done really well so far in the show.
Yeah. Aaron Douglas from Battlestar Galactica will also be joining The Flash for an upcoming episode called Potential Energy. Apparently he's playing a villain known as the Turtle, or Turtle Man. He is a bad guy who could literally slow down time. Entertainment Weekly is saying that the Turtle is Cisco Ramon's white whale and noted that Barry himself has been in the dark about the fact that Cisco has been trying to find this particular character throughout the second season. I don't know what that... I don't know.
I don't remember seeing any indications that he had like some backhand agenda to find some turtle.
Me either, man.
I don't remember anything even like that, but okay.
Me either. I don't know.
He can just slow time. He can't like speed it up. Just slow it. And he can't stop it. Just slow it.
I don't know.
So he can just make Barry run at normal speeds for small bouts of time.
Yeah, that's a deep cut, man. I'm pretty sure. I think I remember something like that in the comics. Other than Jimmy Olsen being a turtle.
That is. There are very few mentions of turtles in my memory in these comics, and he is completely not in the landscape. I have no idea who that is.
No.
Sorry.
Oh, man. So, once again, rumors have sprung up about Supergirl and crossing over with Flash or Arrow. And Berlanti is saying that if they were going to do it in Season 1, they've got about a month to work that out. And at the Television Critics Association Winter Press Tour, Glenn Geller said, "I have to be really careful what I say here. Watch and wait and see what happens." That sounds like a yes.
They may, well, not necessarily.
I'm just saying.
They could just drop in some, like, mention.
Earlier this year, they were saying no, absolutely not. And now they're saying maybe. Maybe.
How much pressure do you think they're getting? And who's applying the pressure? Is it, you think it's like CW asking CBS or the other way around?
Honestly, I think it's the fans. I think it's fans that people keep asking. Like, the press wants it. The fans want it. I'm sure I know the EPs want it. I know Berlanti wants it.
We've talked about it, though. Do we really want it? I'm not sure I really want it. Not yet.
I will take it.
I'll take it. I'll watch the fuck out of that.
It's,
I'm not sure
it's
I would
one
do
of those
it
things.
Though.
It's one of those things where someone could, like, walk over and be like, "Hey, you want this?" And I'll be like, "Sure, what is it?" Yeah, is it free? It's free? Yeah, I want it. What is
sure,
it?
Sure, I'll take that. What is this? Like...
Ooh, an itchy sweater. Excellent.
I don't know. Flash has just so much going on. Again, my big problem with it, and this is something that I hope they find a way around because it'll bother me, is I think of Arrow as a guy that would know if there was a Supergirl or a Superman hanging around somewhere.
Yeah, but if they do like an alternate reality, man, I mean,
then we're talking.
Let's say they're trying to get Jay back to Earth 2, and they like go through, or they're gonna go see if they're gonna take down Zoom or some crap, and instead they wind up in, you know, Supergirl land, or she just shows up on the Flash or something. You know, I mean, they can do that. I'm good with that.
I mean, and we even talked about, well, what if she was just part of Earth 2? It's a little better, but then and I'm not sure if this is a good enough gripe. I feel good about my first gripe, but this one I'm not sure if I'm going too far. Then I'm starting to wonder, like, all right, well, you're telling me there's like a Supergirl and a Superman in a world where there's a Zoom killing speedsters, and none of them have tried to help out on that?
Yeah.
I don't know if they have a Justice League or a JSA over there. They would have a JSA, I guess. But
probably, yeah. There are at least 52 universes, man.
Right. Is it back to 52 now?
I don't know.
It was.
I thought
it was. Thousands upon thousands, and then it was one, and then it was 52, and then it was 51, because one of them pretty much got obliterated. And then they went back to 52, I guess?
I don't know.
I think it expanded some more. Like I said, they can't keep it together for long. So Wolf by the Ears, that one.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is that after Dan DiDio, Jeff Johns, and Grant Morrison got done with me, I had 52 cuts in my ass.
Right. there are times where I think Morrison did a whole hell of a lot to help that problem, and then you go through something like Batman Inc. and you go, dude, come on, what? You just solved a little bit of this.
Well, but they're all valid. They're all valid. So there are a lot of clips of Supergirl. One where she's flying with Martian Manhunter and talking about some stuff, and one with
if you had like a flying buddy, wouldn't that be like something you did every Sunday afternoon? You know, hey, it's pretty outside.
Yeah.
You want to go fly around together? Sure.
Yeah, I mean, she's talking about how it's fun, and he's like, "It's not about fun. It's about training you in the proper flying techniques." And they have there's another clip of John Jones pretending to be Maxwell Lord.
Can my first question be, there are improper flying techniques? I'm confused.
I guess so. I suppose so. I don't know. I was a little confused about that myself. There's a clip with, there are a bunch of clips, like a clip with Cat Grant talking to Lucy about a job offer, and they're all from Childish Things, I think, so a lot of them are delightful, so I'm just going to leave that for the our episode review, which is coming. At
right.
some point, when the show comes out, we'll put out a review. So, more casting news: Laura Vandervoort, who was Supergirl on Smallville, she is going to be on Supergirl as Indigo, which is apparently a strong-willed supercomputer who was sentenced to Fort Roz after turning against the people of Krypton.
That sounds kind of cool.
And Kreisberg says there's going to be an episode coming up that's going to have Melissa, Laura, and Helen Slater all in the same episode. It'll be three generations of Supergirl.
That... Stop, dude.
What?
Like, her parents so far have turned me off to all the nods. Is that... Uh-huh. Am I being unfair there?
Well, sure, but... Well, her parents didn't turn me off. Helen Slater turned me off.
Well, it didn't... Kane didn't do a lot.
Kane did a good job.
Kane...
I mean, for the 2 seconds he was on screen, he did okay.
It just... It, I feel like... Didn't we do the nod? Is that, I mean, it was cute. It was cute.
Yeah. Just
do it.
Yeah.
It's okay. You don't have to go back and keep nodding at things. We understand. You can go do a real show.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm all for respecting the past and all, but, I mean, yeah, it's a little much. I'm okay with, you know, former Supergirl in Smallville, because she was okay being Indigo. Whatever. He did say something that kind of hit me a little bit. He was like, the hope is that, you know, the future Supergirl, the next generation of Supergirl, will be watching that episode. Okay, well, yeah. All right, you said the right thing to make me have the feels, but... I don't want to see Helen Slater again. I just don't. She was so bad.
I don't know. It's still, like, is that even necessary? Okay, somewhere in the world, there is probably a person who's going to be the next Supergirl. I'm willing to assume probably. That's going to happen. Do they have to see all three? Is it not okay for them to just see Melissa and be like, oh, that would be a cool role one day?
Yeah.
Do they need the entire freaking history? No one's doing that with Batman. No one's saying, like, well, you know, if we don't get Michael Keaton on Gotham, I don't know if we're ever going to have a next generation of Batman.
Oh, don't say that, man. Don't say that. I mean, people have done that. I mean, Brave and the Bold did... They had Conroy and West in the same episode with Diedrich Bader.
Oh, yeah. And it was wonderful. But those were voices.
Yeah, I know.
It's slightly different.
No. You shut your mouth.
I don't know. I'm being pissy about it for fuck knows what reason. Sure. Bring it on.
Oh, I mean, I just don't like Helen Slater. That's all. That's my only issue. She was just actively bad in the last one we saw her in. That's all I'm saying.
Kept trying to give me a freaking sandwich.
I mean, maybe some of that was just her character or whatever. I don't know.
Well, we didn't like what they were doing with her reaction to the Supergirl thing. Like, we thought she was being unnecessarily kind of mean, really, to her sister.
To Alex.
But, yeah, but damn. Yeah. Yeah, we just didn't like what they did with her at all during the episode.
Yeah, she was mean to Alex, or as you know her, Carol.
As I know her, Carol. I have just started calling her Danvers, period. I know that part's right, so I'm just sticking with Danvers.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things. I look forward to it every episode, every Supergirl episode where you call her Carol.
Right.
And
it
I'm like,
cemented.
Who?
It just got cemented at some point, and I can't get out of it.
They're also bringing in Jeff Branson to play Master Jailer, who was Fort Roz's most brutal guard, seeing the escaped inmates unleashed.
Better be with that name,
city.
Man.
Yeah. Seeing the escaped inmates unleash their wrath on National City only stirs up his inner vigilante, and he goes on a merciless hunt to round up the prisoners and restore justice to the universe.
Oh, so kind of a good guy, I guess?
Kind of, but it sounds like Supergirl's going to try to rein him in, probably. Well,
that sounds boring.
Yeah, I know. And Italia Ricci is apparently playing Silver Banshee there.
Okay. Haven't seen her in a while.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I haven't even heard that name in a while, actually.
Here's something that's kind of, blasphemy. they are, on Supergirl, they're going to be adapting For the Man Who Has Everything by Alan Moore.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh.
Kreisberg says he's been pitching this since he started on Supergirl. For the people who don't know, The Man Who Has Everything is an issue by Alan Moore, where pretty much the Justice League kind of pop over to the Fortress of Solitude for Superman's birthday, and Mongol is there, and he's got like the Black Mercy alien plant on Superman and making him hallucinate that nothing ever happened, and he grew up on Krypton. So, essentially what they're saying is we're going to have a whole episode where we have to deal with freaking Krypton talk.
Yeah, that part I'm not looking forward to. But there's a really great scene in that. Like, it, make sure I'm remembering this right.
There, well, there are several.
Yeah, it's an Alan Moore, so that goes without fucking saying. But they, isn't that the one where like you have a nice scene where like Superman's having to say goodbye to the kid he never had? Like he knows there's something wrong with his universe. Like he's got the voice in the back of his head thing going, this isn't right, this isn't right, this isn't right. And he kind of has this dialogue where he even tells the kid, I have to say goodbye to you because this isn't real. And,
That does sound really familiar. It's been a while since I read that.
I'm pretty sure that's where that scene belongs. But yeah, man, there could be a lot of that. There could be a lot of that, I guess.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm not looking forward to the dialect, but it's a cool story.
The thing I remember the most, I think, is that this is the first time that Robin meets Wonder Woman.
Oh, he's just gobsmacked.
And Batman looks over at him and goes, clean thoughts, chum.
Right. From which I can infer that he knows you don't have clean thoughts the first time you meet Wonder Woman. So I can guess that he had the same reaction the first time he met Wonder Woman. Isn't that weird? I could see that being Batman's internal dialogue. First time he actually meets Diana, remember your training, remember your training, remember your training, remember your training, remember your training.
Hi, I'm Wonder Woman. Boobies. I mean, training. 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 So you met Batman. Yeah, he yelled boobies at me and then started just saying training over and over again. It was really weird. Yeah, that's what Batman does sometimes.
Then he left the room really quickly. He left the room really quickly a lot, all the time. With very varying around, degrees of shame.
I turned around and he was gone.
Right.
No, he was just over there under the desk. You don't want
wherever,
to know he was
wherever
doing
he was,
desk.
I could still hear him muttering, remember your training, remember your training, remember your training.
So yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. The episode's gonna be called For the Girl Who Has Everything. I don't know how I'm gonna feel about that.
One of the things I hope they do, she hasn't had a birthday on the show yet, right?
I don't think so.
So I'm, you know, obviously I'm hoping they make this a birthday episode for her. Just stick as many things in there as we can from the real actual story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who her super friends would be exactly, but whatever.
It's gonna be Wynn and Jimmy.
Yeah. And like
and John Jones. And John Jones.
No, right now it'd be like, oh, how would
he'll
this
probably
work?
He'll probably be integral in breaking the psychic connection that the Black Mercy has on her or something.
It's just like her entire thing is just like her giant, maybe we won't get Kryptonian dialect. It'll just be like a workplace version of that where Kat treats her well. Uh-huh. And Wynn doesn't give her puppy eyes all the time, and Jimmy's really into her.
I wish.
And I guess Danvers and Maxwell Lord are dating, but that's okay because he's not evil.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. So there are new clips of Batman Bad Blood. One featuring a smooth-talking Nightwing on the phone with Starfire.
Nice.
They're kind of getting sexy with their talking. Like she's like, it's been weeks. I don't remember how you feel. And he's like, I can fix that. But he's fighting Blockbuster while he's talking to her, and he's lying to her. Like she's like, are you on your way? And he's like, yeah, I'm stuck in traffic. What's all that noise? Construction. He's fighting Blockbuster.
Right. It's a version of construction. It's the demo portion.
Yeah. And right. And then Alfred, you know, calls him with an emergency, and he's like, okay, I really don't want to do this, but I've got to let you go. The other one is called The Night Batman Died, featuring Batwoman telling Dick and Damien about, you guessed it, the night Batman died. Yay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We'll see.
I'm going to watch this one.
You really? I mean, they've been... I realize, like, the DCAU is properly tucked away and done, and these are just kind of a string of things, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know, look all the way back to BTS. Like, you remember the "Don't You Want to Rev Your Harley" line? That was,
yeah.
As a kid, I was like, "Did they can we say that? Is that I know what that means?"
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was surprised.
Speaking of Bruce Timm's misogyny, I'm just kidding. No, Bruce Timm says that it has nothing to do with misogyny. Mm-hmm. The Killing Joke, well, maybe. I've heard that particular story is pretty misogynistic. I've read it. I didn't agree, but whatever.
It didn't strike me as such, but okay.
Nah. Women and fridges, you know. But The Killing Joke is a bit short, so they're going to carefully add to the original story to make it movie length.
Oh, they're just going to flesh out a couple things, I guess?
I guess so. Chris White sent this to us, and
yeah.
He's kind of not really on board with it, but...
I didn't catch the part where it was to make it movie length. Apparently, I'll skip that. I didn't have a problem with them. Mm-hmm.
I watched a video. I watched a video of Bruce Timm saying, "The Killing Joke is very short." Too short to make into a movie.
I mean, he's right. It's like a 40-minute story if you did it right now.
Yeah. If that.
I think you could draw it out, especially... Because the scenes in the... kind of on the in the actual what do you call it, the roller coaster ride or whatever,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't go by that quickly, especially Batman tracking him down through the amusement park. Those scenes would crawl. They're very slow pacing.
Right. There are like later
a lot of scoring.
There are later stories that they kind of like complement the Killing Joke and flesh out stuff, so they could bring some of that in.
Yeah.
I mean, some might say it's heresy or something, but. I'm sure they will. They'll bitch about it. Whatever.
And, it's the Killing Joke. Like, so much of stuff that's just accepted canon is either mentioned there or straight up came from it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a mm-hmm. lot of stuff to play with.
I really care.
You can have
about,
whole
like,
Oracle
never...
scenes now if you want to. She's
yeah. You could
flash forward that's to No Man's point. Land if you fucking want to. Okay.
I think I don't give a shit as long as Hamill and Conroy are there. I don't really give a shit.
It really, no matter if it was the worst thing I've ever seen, that would really make it easier to swallow, I admit. I just don't think it's going to be the worst thing I've ever seen, though.
No. I just wanted Joker to shoot and paralyze Barbara Gordon in the animated series. I didn't need the entire Killing Joke done. I just want, I could, because I love that character development for Barbara. I always thought that she became a more powerful character when she was not Batgirl. Now, she's Batgirl again, and I'm fine with that, too, because I always wanted her to become Batgirl again, but I felt like she needed to go through a certain amount of pain and trauma and self-realization, as all superheroes do,
and
to become a more fleshed-out character.
She becomes a badass on several fronts. I mean, there's a couple of stories mm-hmm. where when the League is really having a crisis, like, well, in one of the crises, John Jones mm-hmm. gets taken off the fucking map for a while, so they lose their linkage. Yeah, they just, mm-hmm. Oracle just steps right in, no problem.
Yeah.
But she's cool enough that she could take over for the Martian Manhunter. That's got to be.
Yeah.
Ain't shabby.
No, it's not. We actually, we have a new listener, Christian Fuentes. He messaged us on Facebook. He says, "I heard about this podcast after a few mentions and a guest stint on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. I'm starting from the first episode and working my way up. Can't wait to catch up to you folks. Not even done with the first episode and I'm already hooked." He does say, "Admittedly, I'm cheating and have it on double speed. I have to catch up somehow."
Can't blame
him. Dude.
Can't blame
welcome.
Him. Absolutely.
Welcome. Let me say that a little slower so you hear it in my actual voice. Welcome.
I mean, that really is like how we have to edit for the most part.
It is.
I haven't had to resort to it during the break here, just doing news episodes and stuff.
Yeah.
I have time in my life to do a news episode correctly, or mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not like I do them incorrectly. Anyway, point is, as many shows as we're going to be covering here coming up, yeah, you got to take it where it comes as far as saving time.
Yeah. I'd be surprised if people aren't listening to it like that on a normal basis.
I don't know.
I mean, we have like 5 episodes a week.
I barely understand what I'm saying at normal speed, though. How anyone's understanding me at 2x is really impressive.
It's more like 1.64.
Mm.
More than that, and yeah, you're gibberish, man.
I believe it. I used to do that. I did that scoping thing that I did for forever. That was the only way I survived.
Like, mm-hmm.
You match the no one knows what the fuck scoping is. It's not gun related. Like you match. You're doing like proofreading for court reporters. So. They give you the transcript that they wrote, but they wrote it way too fast, so it's like 70% right, and then you have to go listen to the audio of the actual, deposition or court case or whatever the hell it is. And, the only way to not shoot yourself in the head listening to dialogue like that is to put it in as fast as you can possibly do it with and still understand what they're saying.
Yep.
It's your only hope.
I did it a few times myself.
I did, like...
Ugh.
Hundreds of hours of audio that I've listened to from court settings and in general, and like one of those was actually a really interesting case. One. So I got 2 hours of actually slowing it down, going, oh my God, what happened next? And then the rest of it was just, oh Lord. Courts are boring, people.
Every time I have to admit, every time I heard you talk about scoping, I always imagined just rinsing your mouth out a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With scope. It's like, I don't know, some people are freaks. They pay for weird things.
Right. Until I eventually explained.
If you found your niche.
Right.
Because you do have a filthy mouth.
It's not how it would be, you know, phrased, though. Like, you know, when people brush their teeth, they don't call it Colgating.
Right.
I'm cresting this morning. I have to crest before I go to bed, too.
Maybe you don't, but...
I'm safe with that.
Oh, man. Well, I think that's all the news I have.
Did we run out? We finally ran out of news?
I think we did. We ran out of news.
Oh, good.
I believe. I'm sure there's someone out there going, why didn't you talk about thing? Whatever. I don't know.
We tried.
Because I didn't want to.
It's a matter of we tried. This is our last real... This was our last, like, light week, too. It's all ramping up from here.
Mm-hmm. And then you guys are going to have a lot more DC on screen coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, we mentioned several times when, like, you got Flashback, you got Arrowback, you got LOT. Apparently, we've decided we're going to cover Lucifer, too. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We don't have real ads.
Dave and Jason crawled through 45 miles of shit.
I'm thinking not. By the way, the Lucifer promos that are out so far? Hell yes.
I'm not even looking at that. I'm not looking at it.
I've only seen a couple, and that's because they actually were bothering to air it. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They've been pimping that during football. Let's put it that way. They feel really good about this. It really does. I don't see too many times where they pimp something during football. Like, you're not going to see an Arrow or Flash commercial. You saw Supergirl, but that was because it was on CBS, and they threw everything at Supergirl. I haven't seen any Gotham, I want to say. Maybe. That's not true. Fox has got Gotham, so Monday nights they got them a little bit. But, man.
You know, I'm a little worried about bringing in Lucifer News to the news show. Mainly because, you know, you make a Google alert for Lucifer, you're going to get some weird shit in there.
It will be our most trying hour. It really will.
I can only imagine it will be, yeah.
There's going to be a lot of, like, flag as irrelevant. Flag as irrelevant. Flag as irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be a minute. You're going to have to put, like, Lucifer TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is the only way I've gotten anything relevant out of Flash TV show.
Well, I did The Flash. It works out well for me, except when they're talking about when Adobe is trying to do something.
Right.
Or replace a thing, or that damn Ricky and the Flash movie. Oh, that's been all over my radar.
I used to get... Like, I don't even want to know about it. Stuff about roofing, because apparently there's flashing involved in roofing.
Arrow's particularly bad about that, too. Like, there's like a lot of weird crap.
A lot of hunting stuff, if you just type in Arrow and news.
A lot of that. A lot of murders in places named Arrow.
Really?
Yeah, I saw like a lot of...
Now, I got a lot of that with Constantine, because there was a big deal trial happening, I forget where in Europe, but somebody over there named Constantine was in deep shit.
Hmm.
So there was a ton of that. There's a few cities named Constantine, so that came up
all the
time.
I like to imagine that was our real world version of John. Because you know he would be.
I don't think this guy got out of it at the end of the episode. I don't remember where that went. Apparently, there's a lot of...
In the real world, John wouldn't.
Right. A lot of soccer-related stuff. Hmm. It got weird. Like, Supergirl's a lot easier to do. Legends of Tomorrow, who the hell else is using that title?
Right.
Gotham, oh my God. So many New York writers like to be cool and call New York Gotham instead. Dude, fuck you guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's just messing up my searches. That's my big problem. You're messing up my search engines. Keep having a flag all over the world.
All right. Well, I think we should probably call it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go adjust our engines more.
Thank you guys for listening. We are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. As a matter of fact, we are running a promotion. We ran it at the beginning of this episode. If you want us to draw you something, go give us a 5-star rating and review or something. Or as Jason puts it, a more honest one, if you feel compelled. Over on iTunes and or Stitcher. I'll take Stitcher. Mm-hmm. And email us at dconscreen@gmail.com and tell us what character you want and which person you want to draw it for you, me or Jason, and we're going to draw you whatever. So, and send it to you. You got to send us an address, though, or whatever. If you are interested in a podcast that is similar to ours, but about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, go check out our friends Matt and Jeff at the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. MCU and DC On Screen are both part of the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can go to GiantSizeTeamUp.com and check out the shows there. We'll see you guys next week. Until then, keep some DC on your screen.